God of nations at thy feet. And it ends like this. God defend New Zealand. And God is all through it. Now here's my point. People have been ringing the talkback stations and asking them, please, will you play the national anthem? Why do they have to ask? Why isn't it being done? Because we are forgetting God. Now I thought that I would be preaching about something else today. Because as I said, I was here 5 weeks ago. But in those 5 weeks, so many things have happened between then and now. And I will give you the reading in Jeremiah chapter
10.
I'm reading from verses 1 to
11.
Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord. Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree down out of a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that move it not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speaketh not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. You see, this is Jeremiah speaking now to God in verse 6. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee does it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz. The work of the workmen are the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens.
Nata Israel Bidhoi, Xavier, but Nata Laikan Akarun Kalsum. Xavier and Hira Yahazaman Munger Atamar, Kasamayam Makum Atafu, Azab Ifarutaduna, Yahazab Mal Kantunumna, Zak Kaduri Korata. I am a man of God. እግዚአብሔር ግን ወለተኛ አምላክ ነው እርሱም ሕያው አምላክና የዘላለም ንጉስ ነው ከቁጣው የተነሳ ምድር ትቀጠቀጣለች አሕዛብም ማዕቱን አይችሉም እናንተም ሰማይና ምድርን ያልፈጠሩ እነዚህ አማልክት ከምድር ላይ ከሰማይ በታች ይጠፋሉ ትላችኋላችሁ
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before thee again today and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the holy book. We thank you for the words that we have read in it and what you speak to us from it. And as we bow here before you this holy day, we humbly ask you, Lord, that you would come by the mighty Holy Ghost and speak to our hearts. We are a needy people, Father. We need to hear from heaven. Lord, we don't want to live on the past. We want to live on the present. We don't, Lord, want to know what Paul and the others did that was right. We want to do what was right. And Heavenly Father, as we bow here before you today, I just want to pray for this congregation. Lord, that your hand would be upon them. We pray for every home, every child, every mother, every father. We commit to you, Abdu and Martha. We pray for Abdu as he goes back to college as of now. And Lord, we pray that you'll give him a real spirit of wisdom, that he may not just learn but get truth, that he may not just have knowledge but compassion, that Heavenly Father, he may not just know what is right but have the heart to obey it. Heavenly Father, we pray for the Holy Ghost to come upon him in his learning. And Father, we also pray that you would bring to us a spirit of reality this day. Heavenly Father, I pray that what I have seen in the closet, you would help me to speak in the pulpit. I pray, Heavenly Father, and I thank you for the prayers of the men and women in this church. And Lord, we just want to cry out to you. And Lord, we do bring before you the city of Christchurch today. And Heavenly Father, we just cry out to you for all these poor people. And Lord, we know they don't know what's happening. We know that they don't know why. We know, Heavenly Father, they do not understand. And we don't either, but you do. And so we just cry out. We cry out for all the workers, for all the helpers, the nurses, the doctors. We pray, Lord, for those who are brokenhearted and lonely and empty and feel futile. And Lord, we pray that there would be a great compassion upon the people. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would protect them from evil. Heavenly Father, we just cry out to you for the churches in Christchurch. And Lord, we pray that there would come upon them such a deep repentance, that Lord, there would come upon each church as such a crying out after God. For Father, we know, Father, that you have a purpose in all these things. And Father, we are really noticing the fact that so many churches got hit. And there is a reason. And Father, we cry out to you. And I pray for David today as he interprets that the Spirit of God would be on his life. And I pray for my heart, Lord. Oh God, I pray that Father, you would speak to me, that you would speak through me. And Lord, I know that my words mean nothing to the people, but your words mean everything. And Lord, I pray for your words. Lord, you have said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, of the ability that God giveth. And we cry out to you. We have heard the voices of men. Lord, how many times have I preached sermons that were spun out of my own heart? And that's no good. So I cry out to you today. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was saying, I was preaching here on Jeremiah 5 weeks ago. And do you realize what has happened in those 5 weeks? Just in such a short time. There's great tumult in the Middle East. The president of Tunisia is gone.
የቱኒዚያ ፕሬዝዳንት ለቋል.
The people made a revolution against him. And then we come to Egypt, that mighty nation in the Bible. For 31 years, Hosni Mubarak was the dictator of that country. And in 1 week he was gone. Because God lifted up his hand against him. I read it to you today. God is the one who is in charge of the nations. Now they say that he's got $95 billion in the bank. I don't know if that's true or not. But what I do know is that of the 80 million people living in that country, about 40 million are living below the poverty line. What a terrible thing. And then there's Bahrain. That too is changing. The king has been told by the people he's got to do something different. And as I speak to you today, Gaddafi of Libya is killing his own people. His son went on the national television this week, and he doesn't speak idly. He knows what he's saying. He's got an army of 9,000 soldiers. And Gaddafi's son says that the streets will run like rivers of blood. These people don't care about people, they only care about themselves. God sees these things. And by the time I speak to you again, I think Gaddafi will be just a memory. I remember him well. In the 1970s, Yasser Arafat of Palestine used to hijack aeroplanes and fly them to Libya and blow them up. It was a very rough time. And Colonel Gaddafi,
Colonel Gaddafi
has always been an eccentric kind of a man. But what I said a minute ago is true of him. There comes a time when God does something. All this has happened in the last few weeks. And then on top of that is the earthquake in Christchurch. And I want to speak to you a little bit about that. Before that, there was a mine disaster, the worst we've ever had in this country. A mine disaster, the worst we've ever had in this country. Twenty-nine men went under the ground and they're still there. And so we see that something's happening under the ground. And then we look at Christchurch and we think something's happening above the ground. And we see that God has a hand in this somehow. Let me tell you what happened. In September, there was an earthquake. It was about 7.1 on the Richter scale. Not one person got hurt. A number of buildings were damaged. But as earthquakes go, they were very fortunate. And after that earthquake,
ከዚያ ከመንጠቀጥ በኋላ
there were another 4000 earthquakes until the one that we got last Tuesday now you know Alex he is changing my audio tapes into digital so we can upload them onto sermon audio and I rang him up to see how he was getting on after the earthquake well he said I was just going to go out the door when the earthquake came I was thrown in four different ways across the room and the door was jammed and he said that all my DVDs and books and everything were falling all over the floor and I waited for a minute and I said to him what about the audio tapes he said they are underneath the bed right underneath the bed where nothing can touch them I said well here's a wonderful thing the safest place in Christchurch is under that bed praise the Lord but you know that to this morning 126 people have died in Christchurch 200 are missing that means it could be another 200 dead and the earthquake struck with such ferocity with such force and power it started in a town called Littleton that's on the sea coast from Christchurch the earthquake was only 5 kilometers deep the one before was 12 kilometers deep and this one was 6.3 but you know the terrible damage that it has done it has almost destroyed the little city of Littleton 90% of the houses are damaged there's a tunnel running between Littleton and Christchurch and they couldn't use the tunnel now in Christchurch itself I expect you know most of this already some people were in the buildings and they ran outside in fear and when they walked outside they were killed on the footpath by the roof falling off the building I heard of a family that was sitting in their car a man and a woman and his wife and little girl and the earthquake came and they got out of the car and a big rock twice the size of the car fell on top of it there are all sorts of things that have happened here but I want to know why and as I have been waiting these few days is it not right that we should inquire to see what God is doing now let me tell you ladies and gentlemen a strange thing and it grieves my heart deeply Where have we heard about God in this earthquake? Has the Prime Minister asked people to pray? He might have, but I never heard him. Are the priests asking for prayer? Are the preachers asking for prayer? The ones we see on television are talking about rebuilding their churches. There is a pattern, if you think about it, there is a pattern of indifference to God even in the middle of this. Who has called us to prayer? Where has the voice gone out to say, bend on your knees? I said to Alex, as I discussed this with him, brother, what do you think of this? And he said a very sharp thing to me. He said after the first earthquake, everybody praised the engineers.
And there is some
truth in this. Now the point I want to make with you is this. We are forgetting God. Do you know New Zealand's national anthem? I don't expect you to, as most of you haven't been here long. It starts off like this. God of nations at thy feet. God of nations at thy feet. And it ends like this. God defend New Zealand. And God is all through it. Now here's my point. People have been ringing the talkback stations and asking them, please, will you play the national anthem? Why do they have to ask? Why isn't it being done? Because we are forgetting God. Now I'm not going to tell you today that what I say is completely accurate. But you think about this. The first earthquake. Nobody gets hurt. 4,000 warnings. Did we get on our knees? No. Did we cry out to God? No. Now, what happens now? In the middle of the city of Christchurch, there is a great cathedral. It is famous all over the world. It's called Christchurch Cathedral. I've been in it. It's a very beautiful place. And it was kind of like a little center there. It was kind of like a little center there. The spire is very, very high, the piece that's on the top of it. There were 22 people inside the thing on a viewing platform looking out at the city. They all died. The cathedral is smashed. This is a terrible thing. You can go and look at the Catholic cathedral. Smashed. I didn't count the number of churches that have been smashed. Now I'm telling you that what I'm saying is not completely accurate. What I'm going to say now.
የነገርኩ እንዳልኳችሁ ፍጹም እውነት እንደሆነ ነው ማለት አይደለም
because I do not exactly know but I want to say this what does God have to do to get our attention what does God have to do to get our attention
የኛን ትኩረት ለማግኘት እግዚአብሔር ምን ማድረግ አለበት
what does he have to do
ምንድን ነው ማድረግ ያለበት
Now we're in the book of Jeremiah. God kept telling the people. I meant before I came today, but I didn't have time to look at something. How many times God said, you didn't obey me? You didn't listen to me. And do you remember one of the things that Jeremiah said? And it's very difficult to distinguish between God and Jeremiah. What I mean by that is the man lived so close to God that to hear his voice was to hear the voice of God. So is God saying this or is Jeremiah saying this? Oh, earth, 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 hear the voice of the Lord. And I want to say that too. We had better hear the voice of the Lord. The very earth itself is being told by God, you listen to me. Why should the earth listen to God when people don't? In the Middle East right now, I believe the nations are getting ready and one day soon we'll have the Battle of Armageddon. More nations are going to turn down. Many, many things are going to happen. And I don't want this to be a political talk. But it won't be long before every time you go to the petrol station, you'll wish you had prayed. I think petrol this week was 220 or something. But it's going to go up a lot higher than that. Because the whole world is convulsing. Do you remember last time I was here 5 weeks ago? I think I said it to you. If I didn't, I said it to one of the other churches. I said, we are in the red zone. And let us remember as a church that God needs to come to us in repentance and humility and love. And even if he doesn't come in those ways to us, because we will not receive the word of the Lord. He will still come in the judgment that he's coming with. We Christians will not stop him. Where is the king of Nineveh right now? That heathen king. Where is he? I want to see him. He it was who said, you humble yourself before God. You put on sackcloth and ashes. Don't eat any food and don't drink any water. And don't let the cattle eat anything. And he said those words which I think are among some of the greatest in the Bible. Who can tell what God will do? I challenge you today to ask God to give you a spirit of prayer. Who can tell what God will do? The earth will obey God, and the earth is sick of us. The earth is tired of our sin. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 that the whole creation is groaning and travailing. The earth is saying, I'm tired of these people. The children play in the parks in the daytime, and their fathers come in the park in the dark and fornicate with other people. They have this wickedness upon the earth. And you look now at the Middle East, and you see the blood that is being shed. You know, I have been thinking about this. By that I mean I've been thinking about New Zealand. Did you know they used to call this country God's own country? When I was a young Christian, we used to send out more missionaries than any other country in the world. And God really did bless us. But what has happened to us? Tell me, what has happened to us? Not very far from where I live, there's a Hindu temple. You know what they worship in that place? They worship an idol. They can't decide whether it is a cow or an elephant. Right here in Jeremiah chapter 10. And then we opened our doors to the Muslims. And for the sake of money, we let so many of their butchers kill our cattle. And you know how they kill the cattle. They turn them towards Mecca. They pray a prayer over it, then they kill it. So the Muslims are killing cattle in New Zealand and children in the Middle East. This is what has happened to us. I can remember when there wasn't one Mormon church in New Zealand. Their first church was just at the top of Queen Street. Now the land is covered with their churches. Are you a Mormon? You better get out of that religion, because you're going to hell. You will not be saved by a man who got his message from gold plates under an apple tree. The reason I'm mentioning these things to you is because this is what has happened to my land. We opened our hearts to the people, and we forgot they would bring their religious filth and demons with them. Now you could say to me, what has killing cattle got to do with Christ Church? I could say to you, it's got a lot to do with it. You know, Asmert's little daughter Helena came home from school just this week.
የአስመረት ትንሽዋለች ህሊና በዚህ ሳምንት ከትምህርት ቤት እየሮጠች ወደ ቤት መጣች።
And this is what she said to her mother.
ለእናቷ እንደዚህ አለች።
Because they get a lot of things told them at school.
ምክንያቱም በትምህርት ቤት ብዙ ነገር ስለሚነገራቸው።
Mummy, why was there an earthquake at Christ's church?
እናቴ ለምንድን ነው በክራይስት ቸርች የመሬት መንቀጥቀጥ የነበረው ብላለች።
Isn't that Christ's church?
ያ ክራይስት የክርስቶስ ቤተክርስቲያን አይደል?
What a brilliant question.
በጣም ምን አይነት ትልቅ ጥያቄ ነው።
From a lovely child.
ትንሽ ተወደደች ሳል።
Let us ask that question.
ራሳችን ያን ጥያቄ እንጠይቅ።
What is the answer to that question? Judgment must begin at the house of God. Doesn't God know who he is? Does God change? Does God accommodate himself to us? No, he doesn't. Oh, you know, I wish with all my heart that Jeremiah would come here and speak to New Zealand. What do you think he would say if he came? Well, let me tell you a couple of things that I think. He would say, you better believe God when he speaks. You'd better take God seriously because he takes you seriously. And I think he would say, don't walk around with God's promises in your pocket. Because God doesn't look at your pocket, he looks at your heart. And there's no use repenting, says Jeremiah. Unless you're going to turn from your sin. How many of you have not turned from your sin? Tell me. And I was thinking about somebody today. What they are doing to my country. These people have never been to this church. They came to New Zealand as husband and wife about 2.5 years ago. But the problem is they're brother and sister, you see. But they made it and made the documents to say that they were brother, they were husband and wife. So after they'd been here a few weeks, they filed for a divorce. And they kind of kept their mouths shut for 2 years because that's the time for the divorce. Had a bit of trouble knowing which names to use. And now she is applying for a Housing New Zealand house. Now she has perfectly good accommodation at the moment. But she wants to get her own place so she can live with her boyfriend. The brother is applying for another Housing New Zealand house. Now there is one way they could get them quick. If you know the right people, you can bribe the officials and they will put you at the top of the list. The price for a 3-bedroom house is
$1,500.
What is all this? Okay, you get your house. What about the poor, struggling family that's still on the list and doesn't know what to do? You have no heart. You don't have a heart. Now, why am I talking like this? Because I'm trying to explain to you what we are like. What we are like. Now, I am not one of these people who point at other people and walk away. I agree with Nehemiah in this. He said, God, I and the people have sinned. And I pray for those people actually. Because they don't pray for themselves. They have a religion you can have without praying. But don't you think that God is sick of this? Don't you think that it makes God angry in his heart? So why would something happen like this in Christ Church? I believe because God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to get especially the church's attention. Listen, look at what it says here in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10. The Lord, the God is the true God. If you read it in the Hebrew, it says that God, the Lord is the God of truth. He's the God of truth. Now there's four things that God cannot do. God cannot lie. He cannot die. He cannot deny himself. That is, he cannot be not be himself who he is. He has to always work out of his nature. And he cannot put up with sin. He cannot look on sin. He cannot approve of sin. He cannot allow sin. I tell you, if God lets us do what we like, God is not God. So he's the God of truth. And Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And when we look at these things that are happening, we have to remember that just because many do not see the hand of God, we must see it. I was thinking about young Joseph. Remember Joseph? So he's down in Egypt. He's been away from home for 17 years. And his brothers are with him and they're really troubled because they sold him into slavery. But do you know what Joseph said to them in the 45th chapter of Genesis? I think it's verse 7. Don't be upset. Listen to these words. It was not you that sent me, it was God that sent me. See, behind all this, God was there. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. What were the great enemies of Jesus? They were the Pharisees and the scribes. Judas would hurt him. Annas and Caiaphas, the high priests, would judge him.
Caiaphas and the
Pilate would whip him and give him to the cross. The soldiers would nail him to the cross. And he'd hang on the cross. Now how do we interpret this? We must interpret it the way the Lord Jesus did. And this is what he said in John the 18th chapter. The cup which my heavenly Father has given me, shall I not drink it? You remember when Peter was preaching after the day of Pentecost? He said, you have taken Jesus by wicked hands and have slain him. But before he said that, he said this. This was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Now I can't tell you exactly where God is. I'm talking about the earthquake. If you read the newspapers, you won't read anything about him. If you listen to our leaders, you won't hear anything about him. And if you listen to some of the priests and preachers, you won't hear anything about it. Not all, because some are real men of God. And maybe we haven't heard their voices yet. But in a general sense, you are going to have to cry out to God to show you the truth yourself. He says, I am the God of truth. And down here he says something else. He is the living God. You remember how I talked about the earth getting upset because of what we do on it? What is the earth? The earth is God's footstool. The earth is the most important thing outside of heaven, the important place outside of heaven. How do I know that? Because God came and walked on this earth. He didn't walk on the moon and he didn't walk on Mars, he walked in Jerusalem. This is such an important place to God. But we have to cry out to him in the midst of it. Because he's the living God. We learn, you know, every time I go down Stoddard Road, you know, there's a big mosque there. Do you know what that mosque was? It was a brand new church. It has never been used. And those people had struggled for many years to get the money to build it. But they made a big mistake. Don't ever make this mistake. They built a big house for the pastor. And they went bankrupt. And that church had to be sold. And the Muslims bought it. They love buying other people's churches. They do it all over the world. And every time I drive past that place, and sometimes people get really frightened. Because I'm just driving along the road and I cry out, shame, shame, shame. They look at me as if I'm mad. But I am not. It is a shame. It is a shame. And do you think God doesn't feel it? Do you think it doesn't grieve the heart of God? This, the Bible says here that God is the everlasting King. You know what that means in the Hebrew? It actually says He is the King of eternity. The King of eternity. But you know what? One of the reasons why I love the Lord, because He doesn't save us and then say, okay, you're coming to heaven soon. And now that we're all together, I've got an announcement to make. I am your King for all eternity. No. He became my King the day I was born again. The day I came to Christ as my Savior and gave my heart to Him, God became my King. And right today I live in eternity. I live under my King. You say, well, how can you say you live in eternity? You're an old man and we don't even know if you're coming back next time. Because the Bible says he that has the Son has life. Not going to get life, has got life. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me. The same Holy Ghost that spoke through the mouth of Paul the Apostle is in my heart. I live in eternity. Now, if God is my King, doesn't he want to be a king? Don't you think he should be a king of our land? If we ask him to honor us, you know, just for 1 minute, let me go back to that housing New Zealand house. Now, not everybody does this. Some people are good people. So you got the house. And you paid a bribe to get it. So you call God's people around and say, come and praise the Lord with me. People walk around in every room and ask God to bless it. I want to give you a message from my King. He will not bless it. He will not go inside the door. Because I am the Lord and I change not. It's hard to be a Christian. Sometimes it's hard to deal with people in authority because they are wicked and they want us to be wicked too. But we cannot and we will not do it. He says, I am the King of eternity. And what does the next part say? At his wrath the earth shall tremble. So let me put it another way. In Christ Church. And don't think it can't come here. I've got a good Indian friend that rang me after the earthquake, the first one. He said, brother, do we have earthquakes in Auckland? And I said, well, no, not really, not much. And you could hear his breathing. He said, oh, that's good. But I said, we could have a volcano. You should have heard the wind going through his teeth. I tell you. But you know what? We're in God's hands. We're in God's hands. And He's the one who makes the earth tremble. Do you think that Christ Church is out of God's control? Just because He's never mentioned? The first earthquake in September last year. 4,000 earthquakes came after that. 4,000. And we didn't listen. So then we got the big one. And there may be more. Until this morning, there's been 5,119 earthquakes in Christchurch. We do not know what is happening. People are coming from different parts of the world to help us. 300 Australian policemen were sworn in today. That means they have the same power as our police in this country while they're here. People came from Singapore, Taiwan, Britain, the United States, that come from all over the place. There are hundreds of specialized workers. But let us not forget God. Let us not forget God. And as a nation, we need to cry out to God. Somebody said to me yesterday, when you go to the church, you should preach about the earthquake. And somebody should cry out, they said to me. And I said, well, we can't exactly walk down the street and cry out, repent like Jonah. But do you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I hope God does raise up someone to do that. I hope that God's voice will be heard. The earth shall tremble and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. You know, when you're going to preach like I do, you wouldn't believe the battle you have to get a message from the Lord. How hard it is to know what God wants you to say. And yet I was thinking, when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, when you look at all the things that happened around Him, He still carried out the message of the Father. He still died on the cross. Rome put Him on the cross. They were the greatest nation on that earth at that time. The Jews put Him on the cross. They were the most religious people at that time. And all the forces of history moved against Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
and they couldn't stop him from dying for our sins. Then they put him in a grave. And they said to to Pilate, give us the seal of Rome because we don't want anybody to come and steal his body away. So they sealed it with the seal of Rome. But Jesus rose from the dead. Broke the seal. Came out of that tomb, and he's alive forevermore. The point I'm trying to make is this: God's will in his church is just as unstoppable as that if we will repent and take God's side. But we have to repent and get right ourselves. We have to be clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. We have to humble ourselves before God. I was thinking last night about the prophet Daniel. And he read in the book of Jeremiah that after 70 years of this captivity, the children of Israel would come home. So do you know what Daniel did? He didn't do what today's Christians do, many of them. Oh, 70 years, what's the date right now? Oh, that's good, they're going to come home soon. No. He got down on his knees. Now I want you to see this old man, he's 86 years old. And he's praying to the great God of heaven. And he says, oh God, you said you'd bring them home. Fulfill your great word. Fulfill your word in front of our eyes. And so he began to join himself in prayer to the will of God. Now you have come to this nation, and you are very welcome. You come from a great country, which is mentioned, I think, 7 times in the Bible. But as long as you are here, you must cry out to the great God of heaven for us. You must cry out to God for his people. Do you think for 1 minute that God wants any man to die and go to hell? I do not believe that. Then why does he die and go to hell? Because the church is not telling him. We're not reaching out for him. You know, when the Titanic went down, I forget the exact number of passengers. I think it was about 1,700. But this is what the headline said in the newspaper in London. You don't hear these two words in our churches. Souls. Man is a spirit living in a body that's got a soul.
So
we look at each other. And we see the body. Some of you look good and some of you not so good. Don't comment on me. But God sees the soul. God sees the soul. Pray that the Christians will see the soul. And remember those people who died. They are lost, lost, lost. If they're not born again, they're lost forever. They'll never sit with their family again. And they'll never sit in the house of God in heaven. Now we have a spiritual responsibility. We have a spiritual responsibility to God and to the things that concern Him. And God is concerned about people. And if God has to, He will destroy a nation for the sake of the people and the truth. My proof of that is Israel in the days of Elijah the prophet. I want to ask you a question. September, an earthquake. 4,000 earthquakes after that, still nobody got hurt. Last Tuesday, another earthquake. We don't know the exact number. But at least 123,
126
people dead already. That earthquake struck at about 7 minutes to 1. And that same day, there were 65 other earthquakes. My question is, what does God have to do to get our attention? One prayer can stop this. One prayer in the Holy Ghost. If it's God's will to stop it, it'll stop. Because doesn't God say, if you repent, I will do this? I go to search for the king of Nineveh. That great man who said, who can tell what God will do? I think if Jeremiah was speaking to New Zealand, he would at least say some of the things that I've shared with you today. And I do not speak about God's people with any sense of thinking that I know the truth and they don't. I am a part of them too. If they are wrong, I am wrong. Because I associate myself with God's people. And if God's judgment falls, say, on this city, it'll fall on me too. Because God is no respecter of persons. It rains on the just for the and the unjust. So dear friends, when we look at terrible tragedies like this, yes, we must look at the physical side. Yes, we must see how the people have suffered. But we must ask ourselves, what is God trying to tell us?